This is Sportscaster.com's Open Mic with Johnny Kane on 760 WJR, featuring sports commentary and stories brought to you by the most compelling rising stars in sports broadcasting. Here's your host, Johnny Kane.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. I'm Johnny Kane. This is Open Mic. It is Wednesday, August the 27th. It is the final week of August. Labor Day is coming up on Monday, so a long weekend to look forward to as we head into the month of September. But in general, really a lot to look forward to with the start of football season, high school football, college football, and the National Football League. We will discuss all of that in this week's program. Season two of Drive to the Game is upon us. Week one coming up tomorrow. That's on Thursday, August the 28th, Lake Orion and Northville, part of the Amazon Prep Kickoff Classic at Wayne State University. We'll get into all you need to know about that matchup coming up a little bit later in the show. We'll also talk college football, kind of how the Big 12 ties into the Big 10 as far as trying to generate the right amount of revenue in order to be into contention for some of the smaller schools, maybe the B-list schools that exist out that way. We'll also tell you about a great story. It's an incredible story, really, about a 59-year-old college football player. The story is a couple years old, but it's soon to be made into a movie on the big screen. An incredible story of redemption and really satisfying a goal, a regret that was once a prominent part of this man's life, and he was able to go out and fulfill that and to be a college football player at the age of 59. So that's coming up a little bit later. But I want to start today's show by talking the NFL, because the Detroit Lions are less than 2 weeks away from kicking off the season. And being the voice of an NFL team, you know, it's an exclusive fraternity. There are only 32 teams, which means there are only 32 individuals in the world who are the official voices of their respective teams. And we're fortunate to have Dan Miller as the voice of the Lions. This city loves its football team, and love is the right word. You know, leaning into the passion of the fans is paramount for any play-by-play broadcaster. Dan Miller does such a great job with that. You know, we all know it's a great privilege to put on the headset and narrate what's taking place on the field. Dan Miller has been the voice of the Lions since 2005. Lyric Sloan is a Sportscaster.com contributor. She's a student broadcaster at Michigan State University. And she sat down with the voice of the Lions, Dan Miller, to talk about his journey that ultimately led him here to Detroit.
So you're coming from D.C. and then you landed in Detroit. So how was your journey coming to Detroit? How did you get Detroit Lions?
Well, you never know in this business where you're going to be. You go where the job is.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, I think you might have a vision of where you think you're going to end up. And I, early in my career, was trying to get into TV and couldn't find a job anywhere. Tried to do all the things you're supposed to do and go to a small market and get a job and then maybe move. That didn't work for me. I couldn't get a job. So I ended up starting in radio, and it's a whole kind of circuitous route. I ended up kind of getting in a back door into TV. I did some roundtables, and I was covering the Washington football team and got invited to do some TV. Hey, come talk about the team. And I got an offer to go work at the Fox station in DC, and that kind of got me into television. But the Detroit thing, in August of 1997, my agent called me and said, there is a news director in Detroit that likes your tape. And we had not sent a TV tape to Detroit. It was just, they used to have things called clearinghouses where news directors can go and they'll say, here you go. And there was a computer you could click on. That now, all this is kind of outdated now, but they would click on it and you just see audition tape. And something about my TV tape caught his, Neil Goldstein, who's the one who hired me, his eye. And my agent called and said, there's somebody in Detroit that likes your tape. And I came to Detroit and I did games for Fox for 5 years, from 2000 to 2004. And then 2005, the Lions approached me about leaving the games that I was doing on TV and would you want to do our radio? And it just made every bit of sense in the world to me. And that's how it ended up coming about.
And that's amazing. I feel like making a jump like that is so scary. You know, you're moving state to state and hoping that you're actually going to find a home from this.
It's a great point you make, but it's also inherent in the business. There are many leaps of faith that you have to take, and you have no guarantees of how it's going to work in that city that you maybe move your family to, try to put down roots. Sometimes things are completely out of your control, and I had so many things that lined up well for me in Detroit. I had a Lions pregame show. I had a Lions postgame show. And then that was when Fox had hockey. So I was moving right from the NFL when the season ended into NHL broadcasts as the Red Wings were on their way to a second Stanley Cup. So whereas a lot of people have to go to a city and try to get people to watch them, I had the eyeballs.
Right.
Through no, through nothing I did. Just because Fox had all these positioned things that gave us eyeballs, I just had to not screw it up.
So now I want to talk about your game day experience. So when these players come onto the field, it's anyone's game. It can be tied at half. It can be overtime. And you're calling it right there in that moment. What's your game day routine? Do you have a certain prep that you do, something to take care of your voice, a little script, a little line that you love to use every game?
I'd love tips on voice. If anybody's got those out there, because it seems like the end of the year, I'm always losing my voice. But I think you have a game. It's not really a game day routine. It's a game week routine, in particular when you're in the NFL and everything's leading up to a Sunday game. It's the preparation that you do during the week that gets you ready for Sunday. I get there at 9:15, 9:30. I have a TV show from 10 to 11. I go to the booth at 11. I start my radio pregame show at 12. We kick it off at 1. We finish at 4. I go to the locker room, do a couple interviews. Then I go back to Fox 2. And we do the late show and start taping a couple segments for that. So I love the routine, and it allows you to just kind of embrace it and not feel like you don't know what's coming next. The game itself, you don't know what's coming. And that's the beauty of it. When it kicks off, you've had 7 days to get ready for it, but it's going to present something you weren't ready for. If we knew what was going to happen, it wouldn't be a whole lot of fun.
Do you ever get nervous?
I think you feel it. You probably call it nerves. You know, it's funny. I believe in a healthy fear. I believe there's fear that paralyzes and there's fear that motivates. I believe in a fear that motivates. And same boss that hired me, Neil Goldstein, said it to me once, and it's kind of what I had felt as I became more understanding of what this business was. He told me that he woke up every morning afraid. And it wasn't that he was afraid that he was not going to be able to do the job. It was being afraid that somebody else would do it better. I thought that hits home. It goes to one of the things that I tell people all the time is that you have to be open to the journey. We're so focused on where we want to go. We're at point A and all we can see is point B. Well, what happens between point A and point B is what makes you better. And you have to be paying attention. And what I'd say is what I've learned about myself is the fear and anxiety that I have about doing a game or doing a sports cast is what drives me to prepare. And preparation for me eliminates anxiety and fear because I know I'm ready.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like if you're too comfortable where you are, you're not doing the right thing. Like, I was nervous coming into this, but I gathered my information and I'm just talking to you like I've already known you and I'm being myself. And that's really the only thing that you can do in this industry.
If you see somebody that's where you want to be, I used to watch great people and learn from them. And I think that's been a huge help in my career, is just watching the people that are doing what I ultimately wanted to do.
Okay, so final thoughts. There are so many kids that are my age in this cutthroat industry that aspire to get somewhere. Do you have any advice that's really valuable that you wish you could tell yourself when you were trying to make it big?
I think it's one. There's a lot, and I'll think of 10 after I leave, but be present for the journey. Take in everything that's happening, the good, the bad, the successes, the failures, the rejections. Take in all of it and study it. You have to be your own best critic and your own worst critic, because there's not many people out there that are going to jump in to help you.
Right.
You know, I kind of had this vision that along the way, people would sit down with me and say, okay, you need to do this or you need to do that. They don't do that. Always work on yourself. Be your own best and worst critic.
Yeah.
Repetition. Doing game after game. Doing sportscast after sportscast. Doing story after story. At its core, it's about never letting anybody outwork you. Early in your career, you don't count your hours. You don't count your days. You are putting this job in front of everything that you can within good taste. So work hard, be a good person. All those things I think go into it. And then just keep your eyes open, just learn. I was so goal focused.
Yeah. Well, I love your line, if you don't take it, somebody else will, because I firmly, firmly believe that. And to put in the work, I mean, that's how you progress yourself. If you're sitting down on the couch and someone else is on the field, that's your opportunity right
there.
There's
no doubt.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I wish you the best of luck. You did a great job.
All right, Lyric Sloan. It's important to get both names in there. Like Dan Miller, you wouldn't just call him Dan. It's got to be Dan Miller.
Right, exactly. You know, Johnny Cain.
There it is. So Lyric Sloan, one of the things I took away from listening to your interview with him was, you know, he says, I wake up every day afraid that somebody else could do it better. But that's it, because there's so many people, you know, they want to be working a sideline, or they want to have a radio show, or they want to do play-by-play. And there are some people that maybe could do it better. And I think that's the thing that you always want to be thinking in your mind is, if you go into a game and just say, well, it's just another game, I got to get through it, you're not giving it everything. And I feel like Dan, every Sunday, gives it everything.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, he does. I mean, there are viral videos of him with hundreds and thousands of likes. People on a Texans game at an away game is cheering Dan Miller. I mean, that is just the love that you want. And I think that's so important that ultimately there is always going to be someone better than you. But I do believe that you can take what they give out and you can apply it to yourself.
Yeah, I think that for any of us, however long we are on our journey, it's like you never lose the fire, right? And you always have to bring it every day. And I think that's part of it. The preparation, as he mentioned too, that's one of the things when people have asked, you know, what is it about doing play-by-play or doing sideline work? Do you get nervous? And I always say, you can if you're ill-prepared. It's like going into a test. If you haven't done the right preparation going in, you walk in there sweating bullets. But it's the preparation that goes into it.
Well, the Lions have done their preparation, having just wrapped up the preseason on Saturday against the Houston Texans. Detroit went 1-3 in the preseason. They opened the regular season on Sunday, September the 7th in Green Bay. Is this the year? It's a great question. Expectations are high. Most analysts have the Lions as the favorites to win the NFC North. But as we know, they got to go out and play and got to go play at a high level. But a lot of excitement surrounding Ford Field, and to try to build off the momentum of what this team under the direction of Dan Campbell has accomplished over the last couple of seasons. This next story is remarkable. It really is. You know, I've always felt like time is fleeting. And one of my favorite lines in any song is in the song My Way, where it says, regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. Mike Flint's story is making its way to the silver screen next month in a movie called The Senior. Here is sportscaster.com contributor Johnny Oxenfeld with that story.
Have you ever heard of the name Mike Flint, 59-year-old college football player? If you haven't, this is the story about a man who made one decision very, very long ago, and it kept nagging at him, and it stuck with him for decades, and he just wished he could do something about it. And that's exactly what he did. You didn't hear me wrong. He was a 59-year-old college football player. Here is the story about Mike Flint. Mike grew up in Texas, where he was the only child of a World War II veteran, and football was a mainstay in their house. So you just know Mike grew up playing football in middle school and high school and just waited for his opportunity to play college football. Now, if you don't know Mike for his college football days, you might actually know him during high school because he played for the Permaine Panthers. You may recognize them from Friday Night Lights. He was a part of the high school's first ever state championship and named a member of the all-district team. Now, Mike grew up in Texas, as I said, and college football is pretty damn big in Texas. So he was recognized as one of the best high school players in the state, and several D1 programs wanted him on their team. Now, Mike did have a girlfriend in high school, and maybe she swayed the decision of where he landed, but he ultimately attended Ranger Junior College, which is a JUCO school, for only one semester, and then he ultimately left and went to a Division II school called Sol Ross State in 1969. Now, Mike quickly became a star linebacker for the school. He was a team captain, he was all conference, and he really binded this team together. As other teammates would say, yeah, he kept this team alive. Now, Mike played college football in his freshman year, sophomore year, and junior year, but his senior year, he had one very big problem, and he made a mistake that would stick with him for nearly 40 years. Now, it was no surprise to Mike's dad and his teammates on the field, but Mike had a very big temper. He liked to get into fights. He got into nearly 10 fights before his senior year, before he was expelled from the football team. In quote, Mike said, "Fighting was something I was good at and actually enjoyed." Now, this one decision to get into a few fights haunted Mike for over 40 years. In quote, "I never stopped thinking about the loss of that senior year." He went on to finish his degree outside of campus, and he worked various jobs, important jobs for big football schools. He was the strength and conditioning coach for the universities of Nebraska, Oregon, and Texas A&M, But throughout this, that decision stuck with Mike. He wanted to play football again. In 2007, Sol Ross State had a football reunion where all the guys would come back together and reminisce about their old football days. Mike was there, and he confessed that getting kicked off the team was the biggest regret he had in his entire life. Mike knew he could play college football again, so it was as simple as that. Why didn't he? Why didn't he play college football again? Yeah, he was 59 years old, but he knew and believed in himself. So why not go for it? He had 1 year of eligibility left. He was a strength and conditioning coach for some of the biggest schools in the country. He knew he could do this. So in what is one of the most important decisions in his life, at age 59, Mike moved from Franklin, Tennessee, and made the 1,152-mile trek to West Texas to play college football again. He returned to Sol Ross State 37 years after being kicked off the team and went to train with the squad and ultimately landed himself a walk-on position. Now, if you think back all those years ago, Mike was an instrumental piece to this Sol Ross team, and he brought that to this current team. He brought his determination, leadership, and that ultimately landed him a spot in the locker room. On October 13th, 2007, a 59-year-old Mike Flint would play college football again. End quote, "I received that forgiveness that I needed to overcome the greatest regret of my life." Mike knew he could play college football. Deep down, he knew he could play college football. So after retiring from college football for good this time, Mike became a motivational speaker and impacted the lives of so many. Mike Flint's motivational speaking may have touched the lives of two really important college football players. Tom Thompson II, at age 61 years old, became the second oldest college football player in NCAA history. In that same year, Alan Moore, who was just 2 months older than Thompson, 61 years old, claimed the record as he suited up for Faulkner University as their place kicker, the oldest player in NCAA history. In 2008, 1 year after retiring, Mike wrote a book called The Senior, My Amazing Year as a 59-Year-Old College Football Linebacker. Now, the book is being transformed into a movie starring Michael Killis and Mike Flint, and it hits the theaters September 19th, 2025. Mike Flint's story about resilience and overcoming some unfinished business doesn't sit with you. I don't know what will. Mike Flint's story is absolutely incredible.
For Mike Flint, number 49, age is just a number.
Oh, I feel fine. I feel great.
This 59-year-old senior waited three decades to get back on the gridiron. Saturday night, the wait ended when Flint took the field with Texas Sol Ross State in a victory over Texas Lutheran in three overtimes.
Was it what you thought it would be?
Oh, yeah. It's more. It's more. It's everything I thought it would be.
This guy hit the winning field goal right there. Okay.
I never dreamed that it would be this widely followed in what I'm doing.
But Flint is a media darling, and Sol Ross State suddenly has a lot more baby boomer fans.
It's good to come out here after 35 years and see your buddy, you know, suited up playing football.
Well, now that his playing career is over, Mike Flint has successfully transitioned into becoming a motivational speaker, talking about what's possible when you never give up on a dream. And if you're a reader like I am, the book, The Senior, My Amazing Year as a 59-Year-Old College Football Linebacker, has been out for years. And the foreword to that book is actually written by LeBron James, which gives you a sense of how far-reaching his story is. And as I mentioned, that story has now been made into a feature-length film, The Senior, starring Michael Chiklis as Mike Flint. If you know Chiklis, he's been in a bunch of TV shows and movies. You'd recognize him if you saw him. He was the lead in the television series The Commish, and also as an LAPD detective in The Shield that was on FX. He's also been in the Fantastic Four movies as The Thing. So a pretty good leading actor to play the role of Mike Flint. At any rate, that movie's going to be coming out in theaters in about 3 weeks. The Senior comes out on September 19th. College football season is upon us. You know, before I had moved back closer to home, I was working out in the Midwest, out in Kansas and in Missouri, and I covered the Big 12 Conference for a lot of years. If you remember, you know, kind of that air raid offense, the spread offenses that Cliff Kingsbury and those guys had at Texas Tech. Baylor had a couple of seasons where they were, you know, really tough to contend with. And the Big 12 offenses were far ahead, I think, of a lot of offenses around college football, which made it such an intriguing conference. Well, over the years, things have shifted so much. The geography has shifted. Teams like Texas obviously leaving the Big 12 Conference, you know, that hurt that league, no question. But the conference as a whole has shifted a bunch. But with that Texas Tech team, one of our sportscaster.com contributors, Emily Wisnowski, covers that team quite closely.
And the Red Raiders are under the direction of a guy named Joey McGuire. And, you know, I think what a guy like Coach McGuire and a team like a Texas Tech that's not necessarily a perennial power within that conference, you say, how do we contend in this current state of college football, right? With name, image, likeness and the transfer portal, how do you recruit high quality players to want to come to a place like Lubbock, Texas and say, hey, you know, let's put on the uniform and let's go to work. We've seen obviously a lot of the Big Ten powers, but Ohio State has an open pocketbook. A place like Michigan does as well, to a lesser degree, you know, a school like Michigan State. But how do you recruit? How do you attract high quality players for a price? And that is the essence of Emily Wisnowski's commentary as we head into college football season. Here's a closer look at the Big 12 and Texas Tech University.
So you know that phrase, everything's bigger in Texas? Well, first off, there definitely is some truth to it, considering, well, number one, the state geographically is massive. Like, seriously, when my parents and I moved me out here, it took us one day to drive across the state itself. And then we spent another day driving across Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. But another truth to that phrase is that it can be applied to some of the folks' wallets who live here, particularly the Texas Tech mega booster billionaire with a B, who has helped the Red Raiders and head football coach Joey McGuire create the most expensive college football roster ever. So if you keep up with college football, you 100% have heard talks of Texas Tech in the national headlines. And a majority of it can be accredited to this guy named Cody Campbell. He's a Texas Tech grad, former offensive lineman for the Red Raiders during the Mike Leach era. And he recently, by the way, just sold his oil and gas firm, forget this, upwards of $4 billion, again with a B, dollars. And most importantly, he is the co-founder of Texas Tech's NIL collective, the Matador Club. Now, before we get into all the details, I want to set the scene for you guys. So here's a little snippet from a press conference with Coach McGuire last October.
There's no person on this earth that wants to win more for this fan base than me. It bothers me that people are upset. It bothers me. Not upset with me. Again, say whatever you want. It bothers me that because we couldn't take care of business on Saturday, that this is how people feel that are Red Raiders. It bothers me. So if you don't think it does or whatever it is, trust me, it does. And I'm going to get it fixed.
So what Joey McGuire is referring to right there was Texas Tech had just suffered a 1-point loss to TCU. It marked their second in a row. And Tech went from being pretty good spot in Big 12 contention to basically being out of the conversation. It's evident from that quote, I can also attest to it working in Lubbock for almost a year, that Joey McGuire really cares not only about Texas Tech and the Red Raiders, but this guy wants to win. And like he said, he was going to find a way to fix it. And part of that fix, if not majority of the fix, came from Cody Campbell. So in an article recently posted by The Athletic, Texas Tech football general manager James Blanchard told the reporter, quote unquote, Cody came in and said in a professional way that he basically had an open checkbook. I mean, he continues to say that telling that to a personnel guy is like telling a six-year-old, hey, here's my platinum credit card. Go get whatever you want. Cody Campbell has said time and time again that his goal with the Matador Club and this NIL fund was to make Texas Tech not only a competitive program for Big 12 contention, which, by the way, this team and this program has never, ever made it to the Big 12 championship, but they also, now with the expanded college football playoff, want to be in the college football playoff as well. They want to have that opportunity. They want to have an equal opportunity, rather, to be in that conversation and be in that fight. And well, Mr. Campbell, I think you did a pretty good job, because this Texas Tech roster is the most expensive college football roster ever. Like, we're talking between 28 to $30 million. And to put this in perspective with you all, Ohio State's roster last year, their national title winning one, was around $20 million. The accolades for this Red Raider team runs deep. 24/7 Sports ranked their transfer portal class number one in the 2025 cycle. Pro Football Focus put their fresh new defense at number three in the country, which is crazy saying that, by the way, because last season covering this team, their total defense at the end of 2024 was ranked 126th in the country. So one of the worst in the league to one of the best, just a matter of a couple offseason pickups. And in addition to their transfer portal success, Coach McGuire acquired a new offensive and defensive coordinator, Mack Lefwich, who came from Texas State, and then Shiel Wood, who he picked up from Houston. So you guys always know during these segments, I'll go ahead and sprinkle in a little bit of my two cents or opinion on the matter. But instead of giving my opinion, I'm going to let Nick Saban talk. Because last year during College Game Day, he brought up a quote, or I guess made a statement in regards to Ohio State's roster that I think can really be applied to college football as a whole moving forward. And he said something along the lines of, you can pay all the right players, but if you can't coach them, you're out of luck. And I would agree that that's kind of the position that head coach Jerry Maguire and this Texas Tech team is in right now. Joey's been very open and honest about feeling the pressure of being in Big 12 contention, you know, considering this program never has been before. And especially last year, given how close this team was at one point to being in a Big 12 title game, you know, it's hard. And right now, everything on paper looks great. Outstanding offense, outstanding defense, stacked with top recruits, new offensive and defensive coordinator who have accolades going on for days, facilities that are nicer than any other in the country. So now all that's left is the ability to coach him. Now, can he and will they? Of course, as I always say, time will tell. However, Texas Tech, what they've done in the offseason is, well, that's how college football and college sports even as a whole are rocking right now. So it'll be very interesting to see, will they follow in the path of like an Ohio State, or will they crumble to the pressure? We'll see.
All right, it'll be interesting to see how everything plays out. Again, that was Emily Wisnowski on the Texas Tech Red Raiders. College football season, maybe the best time of year, but also if it's college football season, we know it is high school football season as well. And that is where we were going to turn our attention. Over the next about 2.5 months, say 9 weeks, we will be featuring Drive to the Game Season 2, our high school football coverage, a great partnership where if you're unable to get to a high school football game of your choosing on a Friday night or Thursday night, in this case, we will have you covered here on WJR. As we will be bringing you one of the marquee matchups from around the state here on the radio wave. So it all gets started tomorrow night. It's the Amazon Prep Kickoff Classic, which will be held over at Wayne State University. At 6:45 starting tomorrow night, we'll have a pregame kickoff show hosted by Giovanni Macheri, where he will set the table for that week ahead. And again, tomorrow being Thursday, but every Friday night deep into October over the next 2 months and change, we will tell you everything you need to know about our high school football showcase of the week. It's an exciting time, and a lot of our sportscaster.com contributors will be a part of those shows, so we encourage you to listen in.
My name is Giovanni Macheri, and I'll be your host for this season of Drive to the Game, the second season of WJR's Game of the Week broadcast, where we're going to bring you the best matchups in each week in Michigan high school football. We'll be on the sidelines at the game, and I'll be your pregame, halftime, and postgame host. We kick off the season at Wayne State at the 20th annual Amazon Prep Kickoff Classic, an entire weekend of the best matchups in the state to bring the season to a grand opening. This year, we got Northville and Lake Orion. Thursday night, pregame show starts at 6:45, so be sure to mark your calendars and tune into the broadcast either live on 760 WJR or on sportscaster.com's YouTube channel and our website, sportscaster.com. We'll have the broadcast for you here, and I want to get you guys warmed up and familiar with the matchup. So we'll start with the Northville Mustangs, where they are under the leadership of third-year head coach Brent Luplo, who just 2 years ago, 2023, his beginning season, coming in from Brighton, where he led as an assistant, that team to a 2019 state championship game. He now comes to Northville bringing those same winning expectations. 2 years ago, they went undefeated in KLAA play, 7-0, and got themselves to a district championship. Last year, though, did not reach the same expectations. They were 6-4 in the overall season and 5-2 in KLAA play, where they averaged 27 points a game and allowed 20. But this year, there's a lot of expectations, especially on the offensive side of the ball. They got a ton of returning starters coming back, 7 on the offensive side and 5 on the defensive side. And 2 of those returning starters are going to be huge pieces to what could be the best offense in the state of Michigan. Led by Cooper Derkash at quarterback. He didn't start at quarterback last year until about week 3, where the starting quarterback suffered a season-ending injury in their third game of the season, in which Derkash stepped in and kept them alive in a 29-28 double overtime loss. But right away in that next game, his first game as the full-time starter, he exploded to the tune of 261 yards and 5 touchdowns in a 54-0 win. Needless to say, the Mustangs were in good hands at the quarterback spot. And this year, with all kinds of offseason reps with the wide receivers and the rest of the offense, tons of 7-on-7 and great leadership skills displayed by the young quarterback. And last season, it earned him trips to camps at Adrian, at Albion, at Alma, and at Hope College. He's getting attention from the next level. But it's not just him as the attack on the ground. They got a returning running back as well. Running back Max DeFore, who rushed for 755 yards on 124 carries for 5 touchdowns. Highlight game, including a 209-yard performance against Novi in Week 8. DeFore, over the offseason, with a ton of protein intake and attention to his diet, as well as a powerhouse gym membership, he bulked up to 24 pounds of muscle, putting him at 6'2", 209 at the running back spot. And the bell cow back, according to Coach Luplo, is going to get about 15 to 25 carries a game. So he's going to have the rock quite a bit, and it's a whole lot to tackle. So good luck to the defenses against him this season. And those are the two big pieces to what could be the best offense in the state of Michigan. So that's the Northville Mustangs heading up against the Lake Orion Dragons. And now this is a rematch from the beginning of the season last year, where these two teams faced off and it was Lake Orion that got the best of the Mustangs, a 20-13 win for them to start the season. They now get a rematch here at Wayne State. You're looking at last year for Lake Orion, a 6-4 overall record and a 2-2 OAA red record. And now you look at it in comparison, 2-2, 5-2, as far as a conference play between the two teams. But you got to understand, the OAA Red is one of the toughest divisions conference in the state of Michigan. So any win you can get there is crucial. Those are some heavy hitting teams. And Lake Orion looks to be one of those teams as well. Their biggest story is their head coach, Chris Bell, the 2022 Michigan Football Coaches Association Hall of Famer, with a 169-65 record in his 22 seasons as the Dragons head coach. This is his second stint at the head coaching position, where he coached in his first stint to 149 wins before moving to the athletic director position. And then just a few years ago, coming back to the head coaching position, still leading the Dragons to victory. And when you have a head coach like this, regardless of how the roster is, which we'll get into in just a second, experience is huge when it comes to any coaching position. We all know that. That's intuitive. We get that. And I imagine it from the perspective of the players, where you know you're in trusted, experienced hands, and especially with a coach who didn't just stack up regular season wins. He made 16 playoff appearances, 6 league titles, and a 2010 state championship, all under the belt of Coach Bell. And now as far as the roster this season, a lot of seniors from last year have graduated on, leaving room for the now upcoming senior class and upperclassmen as well. They want to write their own story. And especially, again, back to the perspective of the players, when you have such great senior leadership and it's now your turn, it's a different dynamic, but still under that kind of leadership, they should be just fine. The strength of this team, according to Coach Bell, is in the trenches, where many consider it to be the most important spot to be a strength, offensive and defensive line. And for this team, not only that, another star player is Ryan Rachelot, the tight end outside linebacker, 3-year starter and Western Michigan commit, returns to the team as one of the 4 starters on offense and defense, 4 on each side for the Dragons. They will also have their leading tackler, their defensive MVP, and Alex Hensley returning to the spot. So when you got some star power and you got strong trenches and strong experience at the head coach position, you can beat just about anybody. And for this game, as a measuring stick said by both coaches, it's going to be huge to see how these teams wind up. So we'll have all of that and more at the pregame show, 6:45 Thursday on 760 WJR and on sportscaster.com. We'll see you there.
All right, good stuff from Giovanni Mascheri. Again, he will be hosting our coverage, anchoring our coverage of Drive to the Game throughout the high school football season. Giovanni, a proud graduate of Oakland University and a member of the Sportscaster.com program. I want to thank our guests today, obviously Giovanni Mascheri, who you hear again tomorrow. I want to thank Emily Wisnowski for her thoughtful commentary on the Big 12 Conference and Texas Tech University. I also want to thank Lyric Sloan for the job that she did in talking with Dan Miller, the voice of the Detroit Lions, and also Johnny Oxenfeld for his story about a 59-year-old senior in college living out his dream, fulfilling his college football eligibility. So a good show, jam-packed show this week. As always, you can catch us here on WJR every Wednesday night from 8 to 9 o'clock here on Open Mic. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I really do, and I look forward to being with you guys again a week from tonight.